You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. You know, weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks ago when this show just went on the air. Yeah. Wasn't it weeks and weeks ago? Anyway, we asked the question.
It's week three, John.
Yes, right. Okay, thank you.
Just to be clear.
Thank you very much. We asked the question, what is it that motivates people to give in the wake of natural disasters or any kind of a cause where people open their wallets and charitably assist people less fortunate than themselves? Well, this week there are no shortage of causes to give to. We've got tens of thousands of people dead in Burma and Myanmar, and the massive earthquake in China, 27 people killed here in the United States from tornadoes. We decided to explore more deeply this sense of what altruism is all about, what motivates people to give, independent purely of the misery and horror of the disasters themselves. And so we asked our friend, Stephen Dubner, who's the author of the Freakonomics blog and book, to come back to our studios to take apart this issue of giving and altruism. Stephen, thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
You know, if we think about altruism from an economics point of view, rather than from a purely psychological moral point of view, what sorts of interesting truths kind of drop out?
Well, it's interesting. Economists really wanted to figure out how to measure altruism because it's obviously important. It's not important just from a financial perspective, but it's important from understanding the human animal and how cooperative and how selfish we are, right? So economics for hundreds of years has stated that we are self-interested, that we don't do something unless it's good for us. But what about altruism? How do you explain that? So a bunch of economists set out to measure it, and indeed they felt that they discovered kind of the magic bullet in the form of these experiments, these games that are played in the lab. They discovered that people generally are altruistic, and yet now there's another movement of economists who have basically said, you know what, that last 30 years of research, we don't think it's right. Basically, what it boils down to is people don't give unless they do get something for themselves. So the whole notion of altruism is really starting to be thrown out the window. The notion of pure altruism, the phrase that economists use is impure altruism.
Now, that means that you're getting something, you're getting like an incentive or a cash payback, or, I mean, there's
not
a whole range of things that you're
getting. Right, there are a whole range of things, right. So you can imagine anything from, you know, on a public radio pledge drive, right? That's actually
thanks.
Really
bring that into
interesting
it, right?
One. You are in the middle of one, aren't you?
Yeah, well, thanks for pointing
so
that out.
All right, so this might get me thrown off the show, but I'll say two things about that. One is when you get the tote bag or when you get the CD, right? That's a little bit of a quid pro quo, right? But the other thing is you don't feel like you're paying for that radio station, even though it may be somewhat tax supported. Taxes, one could argue, are a form of charitable giving, right? Let's say you're in a 30% tax bracket overall. You are giving 30% of every dollar you make to causes other than yourself, right? So a lot of people could feel that, well, geez, I'm already being very charitable. Why on earth do I now want to give more money to people who aren't doing anything for me?
But isn't that actually kind of a cynical view? Because you can be giving money, right? And what you get back is feeling good, like somehow you've contributed in some way in helping someone else's life a little better. But that would be a pure motivated action.
Are you implying that economists are not cynical? I mean, that's the point, really.
Yeah, but it just seems so harsh to say that the only reason why someone gives is so they can get a plaque or so that they can get a bag or something else.
It is almost never the only reason, but when people think about altruism, they seriously, seriously undervalue the pieces that are coming back to people.
Now, and some of them are very intangible. Tell me about this study that actually brought chills to my spine over the research into what motivates people to give in a door-to-door situation.
He's a bit obsessed with this.
A great study. All right, so this is a study done by an economist named John List, who you should remember because he is a young guy who's kind of at the forefront of experimental economics and has a lot to say about altruism. And John List, who's now at the University of Chicago, did a study down in North Carolina. They were trying to raise money for some kind of hurricane relief, hurricane barrier, something, you know,
right,
being built on the shore of North Carolina there. What they were trying to do was test different treatments of solicitation. In other words, if you're collecting door-to-door, what are the best things to do? Should you drive up in a car or should you walk? Should you mention that you have a bunch of federal seed money or should you not? Should you ask for a particular donation, right, or should you leave it open? along the way, because economists are cynical and sometimes cruel, they also noted the metrics of each of the people who were soliciting donations. A tall white man, a short black woman, a blonde woman who was pretty on a scale of X to 10, right? They had people judge the attractiveness of each of the solicitors. And here's what happened. No matter whether you were using the best methodologies available, in other words, naming the seed money, driving up in a nice car, whatever, all the best methodologies invariably got beaten if you were any random blonde woman. In other words, if you're a blonde woman soliciting door to door, you're going to get better donations, and not just from men, also from women.
That's a very interesting result. We could talk an hour for that. But I just want to point out one thing, and this is in your blog, that during the tsunami and the aftermath of that, Americans came up with $1.9 billion. Hurricane Katrina, $5.3 billion. Pakistan earthquake, $150 million.
That's a pittance.
But people do give. At what point?
But why not to Pakistan? And why?
In that case, the reason I use those three examples were this: the Asian tsunami was a big cause for a variety of reasons. One, it came right around Christmas time. People are in the mood to give at Christmas time. Let's not forget the tax break. Okay. So in the we should say this. The United States is almost unique in this regard. We give so much in this country.
2% of GDP.
2% of GDP, $300 billion a year. Phenomenal. Now, here's what would be a great experiment if I were king for a day. Take a bunch of states in the United States, 20, half of them, get rid of the federal tax exemption deduction for charity for a couple of years, and half of them keep it and see what happens.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So then you'd adjust for the tax incentives and see where the pure or less impure altruism lies. Stephen, hold on there. We're going to talk about altruism here with our listeners for the rest of this hour. But right now it's time for Headlines with Femi Okeh.
Thanks, John. It is 28 minutes past the hour, making news around the world. President Bush has arrived in Israel.